Now it's time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt.
So we are joined in studio by John Pulu from Pacific News and current affairs show Tangata Pacifica, and we are joined by Kendall Hutt from AUT Pacific Media Center, and they are here to talk to us about the current political upheaval in Tonga. So King Tobu the VI's dismissal of Akilisi Pohiva, the Prime Minister, and dissolving of Parliament has sort of called for a new election in November, is that right?
Yes.
That's correct. Maloilele, and thank you very much for having me on the program.
John, I just wanted to kick off by asking, were there any indications prior to the 25th of August that the King, King Te Pau the VI, would make such an unprecedented move?
Yeah, malo pito, Kendall. We did have a vote of no confidence earlier in the year, so that was, you know, maybe one indication, but no one was prepared for what had happened, what has happened with His Majesty, you know, intervening, using his constitutional right to stop what's happening in Tonga. So for a lot of us, you know, it kind of shook the pro-democratic, you know, movement in Tonga and overseas, because we were like, oh, wow, you know, it's unusual for His Majesty to step in like that. It's usually just, you know, if there's like a massive disaster in Tonga that he, you know, steps in like that. But we were all really surprised.
And what was your personal reaction when you first heard the news?
Yeah, no, look, I was surprised myself. This is the first time we've had, you know, Akilisi Pohiva. Now, he's got a lot of history in Tonga in terms of, you know, pushing for a more democratic country. For me, it was, you know, I was taken back. I was like, wow, when it dropped on, you know, it apparently they had a meeting on the day before it went big. So, you know, when I heard about it, you know, I said, oh, wow. What the beep? So yeah, no, we were caught off guard. You know, no one ever imagined Tonga will go through this. And you know, I can reflect on what had happened in the past when there was, you know, political unsettlement in Tonga. There was a lot of people that took to the streets of our capital, Nuku'alofa, and you know, they obviously they destroyed some of the local businesses. So I was fearing that was going to happen because of sort of such big news like this.
And what does this mean for Tonga, both in terms of the country in general moving forward and also for democracy?
That's right. So Akilisi came into power you know, 2014, and I got to sit down with him, and look, he said he's going to lead by example, and he told me that you know, a lot of his work during his term is going to be cleaning up what the previous governments have done, you know, so like every new leadership, they're going to tidy up things. And so a lot of that of his time was just trying to you know, get things back to normal again, you know, from his perspective. This is another chance for Tonga to relook at, you know, the members of parliament, who they want to represent them, and talk about the issues that matter to our people. And I think, you know, this is also another chance to promote the more women to, you know, stand, because that's always been a lack of having a female leadership or female representation in our legislative assembly. So I believe it's another chance to refresh. Relook at our members. You know, Akilisi has said that, you know, they've shown that they've had a surplus with the economy. We obviously import more than we export, but that's another thing we're going to be looking at. So I think encourage, you know, people back home in Tonga, you know, to obviously think about their future and the issues that matter to them and the people that's going to be delivering. You know, at the end of the day, it's the people. So it's a second chance now to relook.
And Akilisi Pohiva's government has been allowed to stay on as a caretaker.
That's
until
correct.
These new elections in November, or by November 16. But just this month, he dismissed both his Deputy Prime Minister,
yes,
and also the Minister of Finance. So is this kind of what you're talking about before? Is this refresher going forward?
Yeah. Look, I thought it was a bit too early to be dismissing, you know, his Deputy Prime Minister as well as the Minister of Finance. But, you know, he was allowed to, according to you know, the legalities around that. But that was also another surprise for me, because, you know, I would think, you know, just wait until November and then refresh. But, you know, I think he sensed that some people are not on the same wavelength, or, you know, kind of working together as he thought. But that's politics for you. You're in today, out tomorrow kind of thing. So, unfortunately, I feel for the ministers who have been dismissed. But, you know, Akilisi's doing what he feels is best for the country, so, yeah.
And Pohiva's government has allegedly been faced with a raft of problems, particularly surrounding Tonga backing out of hosting the 2019 Pacific Games, and also his decisions regarding the public service broadcaster, the Tonga Broadcasting Commission.
That's correct.
I was just wondering, is he still popular enough to win another term in power?
That's a good question. You know, I tune into Radio Tonga regularly. And, you know, it depends on which station you listen to, but you can kind of get a feel of, you know, which station is supporting which. But the whole dismissal of, you know, the top managers at the Tonga Broadcasting Commission was a huge surprise for me as well, because, you know, this is a government-owned entity, and for the Prime Minister to intervene like that. Because he did tell me, because I interviewed him about that, and he said that it wasn't personal, but it was that he thought that they were becoming more of like an enemy of the state, kind of, you know, they were thinking that the government was the enemy, and they were always, but that's what we're here to do, you know, we're here to, you know, make sure that we point out the mistakes and we address it. That's what we're here for, the fourth estate. So I think it was a huge surprise as well that the Prime Minister intervened, because, you know, it's never happened, but that's how it goes. But at the moment, you know, it's mixed. I think the country's split up into two. Eh? There's the supporters of the current government, and there's the supporters of obviously a new government as well. But the election spirit in Tonga, I can sense by, you know, the posts on social media as well as Tongan media. Everyone's excited about it. So, we thought our election was interesting, and then, you know, out of nowhere, the Tongans have just, come up with a new election.
Is a political divide sort of quite prominent in Tonga at the moment?
Absolutely. And over the years, it's always been like that. You know, we are, Tonga's formed via a monarchy. So, you know, obviously you have the people who are always supporting the monarchy, and then there's the pro-democratic pushing for more people. So, yeah.
Other sort of pro-democratic people a bit more sort of concerned about the monarchy's power to just dissolve parliament?
That's right. So that's another thing, was because the king had received some advice from the speaker, and he's a noble. And it was one of the things that he mentioned, and the reasons why he's gone to tell the king to stop, give him advice, was that he thought that Akilisi was overstepping, and he trespassed the king's powers. He was kind of like, you know, trying to override the king's authority. So, it's been very interesting, because for us it's like unusual for the king to, because Tonga's been through the whole democratic change, you know, in the past the king used to appoint, you know, but now he's given the authority to the prime minister, but now he's stepped back in again obviously dissolve the parliament.
Do you think Tonga will ever be in a position where the king and also the monarchy and the people in parliament can coexist?
I would like that. It'll be a dream come true, you know, if we can just working together, you know, collaborating. You know, I know Tonga's built on, you know, the different structures. We have the commoners, nobility, and the king. So that's the divide in our country, you know, and even our language and everything's all split into the three. One day I do hope, that we can operate like that. I think a little bit like the United Kingdom, where they have the head of state and, you know, the prime minister, and that looks after the daily business of the country.
So to be more like the United Kingdom, I guess the monarchy would have to have less power.
That's right.
Do you think that would happen anytime soon?
I don't know. I don't think so. You know, in Tonga, there's a lot of people that, they're quietly anti-monarch, but, you know, not anti-monarch, but, even though they still, the royal family, they still show their respect. So it's kind of like a Tongan thing, you know, we do this, but then we still show our respect. But that's very much part of being Tongan, you know, is honouring our monarchy. And we're very proud that, we still have the remaining monarch in the Pacific. Mm. So it's still very much part of our identity.
Mm. And just returning to the TBC, it was also privatised in June. Do you think the controversy, obviously, with the general manager being dismissed back in May, do you think that this controversy surrounding the TBC might have played into the King's decision at all?
That was one of the reasons as well. Yeah, so the Speaker was talking about that and the Pacific Games. So because the Prime Minister was making these big, you know, calls, you know, to dismiss the General Manager as well as the Pacific Games as well, I think that was just the build-up, you know, to the tension. And then, yeah, he's collected all the details and he had to go and address His Majesty about his concerns for the country. So I think it did play a role in, you know, in the Lord Speaker's decision to go in.
And would you say that this has affected media freedom and indeed democracy in any kind of way?
Indeed. I know that Akilisi was, you know, his history goes back to, he used to run a program on radio in Tonga where he addressed, you know, during that time it was very much, you know, the king and the nobles running the country, but he ran a radio program that was addressing, you know, and talking about democracy in Tonga. So he was taken off air because of, you know, addressing those sensitive issues, because we still have a lot of respect for our Majesty and our royal family. So I think, you know, looking ahead now, because now that Akilisi has kind of opened the can of worms now, we have to, you know, tread carefully now looking ahead, because obviously we need a more balanced, you know, media in Tonga, and the fact that we're allowed to do our job without being, you know, dismissed, without being, you know, told what to do. So I do hope for the future of our country in terms of reporting on sensitive issues that it is allowed, you know, we're doing our job. But yeah, when government intervenes like that, it makes me worry.
And how did the Tongan community in New Zealand react to this upheaval in Tonga?
Yeah. Well, the Tongans here in New Zealand were the biggest contributor to the country's, you know, in terms of remittances. So a lot of Tongans here are still well connected to the families back home. And even now, elections, there were Tongans wanting to vote from New Zealand, you know, with the general election back home in Tonga. But following the talks on radio and social media, it was split. You know, people are still, you know, saying that where's the democracy, and there's the other supporters saying, you know, it's about time, we need change in Tonga. So I would say it was still 50-50, you know, our Tongan community here, because we're so attached to our families back home, a lot of people were still showing their emotions, so good and bad.
Cool. So I think that brings us to the end of our segment. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Don and Kendall, for coming in today. It's
My
been
pleasure.
A pleasure having you guys.
Malo.
Malo.
That was the Southern Cross.